Good morning, 6:41 a.m. on Tuesday, July the 30th, 2013. Today and tomorrow, that's all I got. I gotta get that book out the door. Can he do it? I don't know, it's gonna be tight. I didn't get as much done yesterday as I wanted. So yeah, it's gonna be a sneaker one. Okay, I gotta watch this, watch the background noise here for a second. $15.46 for the first mile? Are you kidding me? Holy cow. I knew I was moving along, but $15.46? That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And still, it's almost 16 minutes, but... wow. Of course, it would have been more impressive if it was $14.45, but what the heck. That's still almost 4 miles an hour. If I could keep it up for an hour. Whoa. So anyway, yeah. What am I thinking about today? Curiosities. Trying to fill in the family genealogy. One of my cousins and my wife are both working on copies of the genealogy. The Uncle Neil's boys, my cousins, my father's brother. He has 5 boys, I'm pretty sure. And they have been the repository for many years of the Lowell genealogy. My sister Lori had a great deal of it as well. I don't really know what has happened to that genealogy, the research that she did before she passed away. In theory, she has the old Lowell family Bible, which, for those of you who are up on genealogy, represents the actual written record in the leaves of a Bible, the literal Bible, the religious tract. And in theory, somebody has that. I understand that there is a probate hearing later this week. I heard from my sister Roseanne, who's in the process of trying to work through the probate process and represent the family's interest in the probate. So we'll see how she does with that. She's there and she's interested. She wants to participate. So I can't from here very easily without flying back and forth to Maine 17 times. And I can't very well fly to Maine and stay there, much as I would like to. So, yeah. So there's some interesting things coming up from that, including, apparently, one of my siblings wasn't married as many times as I was led to believe, which I find curious, but okay. There's no judgment value implied. I was like, what? Really? What about these other two guys? Oh, no, we weren't married. Oh, okay, well. I learn something new every day, what can I tell you? What else am I thinking about? Oh, I keep getting emails back from people who this is the first time they've heard from me in weeks or months or whatever. So whatever I did to the email list certainly increased its scope, certainly increased its deliverability. I'm not exactly sure how or why or what or whatever, but I may not have reached everyone, but I certainly have apparently done a lot better. I've got about 300 email messages, and it's still going up. I keep getting another one or two every hour or so, so even now. So that's good. That means something that I did has helped. I think sending both text and HTML has helped. I think changing the throttling rules was probably what did it. And what was happening was that the server was trying to send something and it sent it, but the message went into limbo and neither bounced nor was delivered. It was probably squashed as just spam at the server level rather than at the client level, so the people who to whom the messages were delivered never saw them. Also, some interesting messages come bouncing back where the actual headers of the message did not include an address or a subject or any of the other things one normally sees in an email bounced message. And yet, the address that it was tried to deliver to was clearly referenced in the bounce. So, obviously the message was sent, and either the headers got stripped on reply, or some other malfunction occurred to suppress the message headers. Very curious. At any rate, the email seems to be working a little better, if not perfect, and I think Allie's latest message about the website is that the website link now points to the correct list, so the files, the databases are actually being updated with the correct databases actually being updated with email addresses. So that's a good thing. It's still a two-step process, so she's not happy with the fact that it links out and takes people off NathanLowell.com. That's not something that I'm really concerned with. I know she is because it has something to do with the ratings and the rankings within Google and all the rest of that. It's like, you know, I'm number one. When you query Nathan Lowell, I'm number one. I'm the guy. And while there are at least 14 Nathan Lowells in the United States, I hope none of those guys try to be authors because it'll be hard.
Good morning.
Good morning. And it'll be hard to get attention under that name. Well, I assume it would be. I suppose if a couple of them are a baseball player, at least one of them is a baseball player, one of them is a golfer. Two of them are in rock bands. I suppose if any one of those guys manages to go really big team like PGA or NBA or wins a Grammy or something, then I'll probably get stomped down, but I can live with that. That's how it works. I do have to, when I get this book out, when I get Captain's Chair done, I have to go back and look at the template that I've got that's driving solarclipper.com, because there are some issues with the way that it loads the navigation band. For some reason, it does not reliably load the menus. Good morning. It does not reliably load the menus where it's supposed to. They get loaded at about a half an inch too low on the screen. I suppose it depends on the size of your screen, etc. But it's interfering with the title of the post, first post on the page, and I haven't figured out quite why. To refresh the page, it generally comes up correctly, but something is going on there that's munging up the CSS, at least the initial load of the CSS. I'm not quite sure what it might be. I'm going to try to change out the theme and see if that helps. I don't know what I'm going to change it to. I might change it back to something really, really simple. I'm a big fan of minimalist. It's one of the things that I have a little bit of trouble with the the really complex and highly ornate NathanLowell.com site, that said, it's really busy. It's one of those web pages that has a lot of stuff happening. It does load very quickly, and it does load the pieces where it's supposed to go. It's very cool that way. I like it a lot, but it's so not me. But it's not supposed to be about me. It's supposed to be about the reader. So I have to keep that in mind. Well, there was something else that happened yesterday. It was another author. There are those who have, you may be surprised to learn, those on the internet who have an agenda. And quite frequently that agenda leads to a great deal of hyperbole and bombast. And on the Writers Discussion Group, one of the other writers found one of these posts and put a little bracket on the top of it on his own blog, and then linked to, he copied a large portion of the bombastic post underneath it, and then added that to his own post, and then went on to Writers Discussion Group and pointed people at this rather ludicrous piece of supposition and innuendo, and asked, "So, what do you think?" My opinion is, what I think is, okay, this is stupid. Beyond that, I'm trying not to be as, dismissively curmudgeon-like, I guess is the best way to say it. This sucks. Without at least having some basis for explaining why I think it sucks, because it sucks is not really helpful or informative. So, but the first problem I had with it, of course, was that he put this link drop on Google Plus on the Writers Discussion Group and linked to his blog with an inflammatory headline on it, which right away is link bait. I should have known better than to click the stupid thing. But then I looked at it again, and I couldn't figure out where he was citing, what he was actually citing, what part of this rather long post on his blog was the citation. What was he pointing at? And then it turns out, it took about three tries, but I finally realized that the post that I took was his was actually almost entirely lifted verbatim from this other site. And was not clearly marked as a quotation. It didn't have block quotes around it. It had a big, really gaudy looking headline on the page. But there were the only link I found that took me to the actual post he was citing was way down at the bottom that said continue. And that linked back to the original citation. And so my first problem with this was that I was very unclear as to what his own take on this was. And the answer is, he really didn't have a take on it, or if he did, he didn't want to come out and say what it was, because all of his commentary on it was weaselly. Is this, can this, how do, what do you, the, how is this, and all of this really weaselly kind of language that's sort of like, dude, if you don't own it, don't play with it. And so I said, first, I don't understand. You really need to make this clearer. And as a writer, you have an obligation, I think, to make sure that when you quote somebody, you actually make it clear where it is you're quoting. And this guy clearly has no idea how to do that, or how to do it effectively, or why he should even do it. Because his response to that was, well, I was posting about the article, not a critique of my web design. Fair enough. So the critique of the article was from, the article was from a small press and bookstore in Manhattan, New York City. I assume it's Manhattan. It could be in Queens. I don't know. It's in New York City somewhere. And so I went to the site and I looked at the site, and this person, whom I will not name, has a long collection of screeds that are as weaselly as the poster was. And, you know, it's like, well, we talked about this end game, and this is, you know, what this other guy says, and he speculates that, and we think that perhaps maybe this, and can they actually believe that they will succeed kinds of questions. It's like, okay, speculation, supposition. Facts are in rather short demand. Not short supply, they're in rather need of demand. And it was like, really? Really? And the crux of it was that over the weekend, Amazon started deep discounts on some hardcover bestsellers. Now, the American Booksellers Association, through Publishers Weekly, had an article about how Amazon was taking aim at bookstores, and it's sort of like me taking aim on an ant. It's like, why do I care if there's an ant? It doesn't matter if there is an ant, other than for the ecology, and I try not to step on them wherever possible, but this is, you know, it's sort of like, okay, here's a grain of sand. I'm going to inadvertently step on it on the sidewalk because I really don't see it. That's Amazon and booksellers. Why? Why would they even concern themselves with booksellers? Why would they even worry about booksellers? But Publishers Weekly does have a point in that Amazon is having an adverse effect on booksellers, the same way Walmart did. And they railed against Walmart, too, but now Walmart is their friend. But anyway, where was I going with this? Oh, this blog post was saying that Amazon is trying to kill publishing. This is so ludicrous as to be almost insane. They're not trying to kill publishing. Why would they want to kill publishing? What is in their benefit to kill publishing? Amazon isn't a publisher, they're a retailer. Perhaps a distributor. But they are certainly not a publisher, even though they have some publishing arms. They are not a publisher. So the idea that Amazon might be taking aim at a publisher is stupid. Start there. And then the guy goes on to suggest that perhaps Robeson Partman, which is a price-fixing, price-discrimination act from the 30s, kind of a corollary to, it's an extension to the Clayton Act and one of the collection of antitrust Sherman Act things. Wow. Anyway, I spent way too much time playing with that yesterday. And it's like, these people really don't understand. I find it curious. But it is 2 miles. I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.